when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. God, tonight we are so grateful for your willingness to send your only Son, Lord, to prepare a way for us to be able to be with you forever. We just want to ask that you would be here, your presence here. We invite that. Ask, Lord, tonight that you would just again remind us of the sacrifice that was made for us so we can be with you. We bless you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Are we good? We are. I can hear the difference there. So verse 17 there, he talks about the day of the feast of the unleavened bread. So the disciples knew all about this feast. So this was a picture Jesus was giving. Let me just keep on going. The disciples knew what this was. They had celebrated this many, many times. This was not their first time of celebration. But this time there was something a bit different. I'd have loved to be there with the disciples and see their faces as Jesus started explaining, as he started laying out what was going to take place. You would think as the disciples were with Jesus every day that they would have picked all this up. But as we read, I don't think they did, because the time wasn't quite right yet. Let's talk a little bit about this meal that they were getting ready to celebrate, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Also consider the Passover, Feast of the Passover. Let's go back to the children of Israel in Egypt. And let's think a little bit about what they were facing. There was bondage. There's a verse in Exodus 1:13 that says the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. The idea of rigor is harshness or severity or cruelty. And if you can look back and imagine yourself there as one of the children of Israel in Egypt, the beatings that they took, because maybe they didn't work quite fast enough, but they served there with rigor. It says, and they made their lives bitter, so it affected them. Not only their physical lives, but I think there was a spiritual connection here that was probably affected. But it says it made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And I had to compare that with us today. They were in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians. And this is a picture of sin. And I had to think about myself. You can think about yourself in this. There was a time where we served in bondage. All of us who have been born again can look back and we realize there was a time where we served Satan in bondage. It was not an easy life. It looked easy. You remember the nights that you went to bed and you couldn't sleep? Because you knew where you'd end up if the Lord returned. That's bondage. I remember when I made the decision to completely give everything to God. I knew prior to that, if I didn't give myself totally to Him, I was out. There was no halfway. There was no, I'm going to go this far, but not all the way. And we continue to grow. Don't get me wrong. We all continue to grow. Christ continues to work. Holy Spirit continues to work in our life. Devil's a hard taskmaster. If I can say that right, taskmaster. There's nothing easy about it. Paul said this morning, devil doesn't care. When you're down, he's still kicking. It looks like an easy road, but it's not. It's a very, very difficult road. So I come to this with the idea that all of us needed deliverance. There's not a one of us here today that does not need deliverance. The children of Israel needed deliverance. Moses came. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam came to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. We want to look tonight at how we have the opportunity for deliverance. Emily, I hope it's okay that we brought this cross out. I love having this cross up here for communion. We have crosses that we hang on our mirrors. We've got crosses in different places. But as I look at a cross, it reminds me of love. Blood, love. But I look at this cross and I realize that the blood that was shed on this cross where Jesus was on was for me. It was for you. We're going to look for just a little bit at what took place there. I don't want to go tonight into a whole lot of explaining about the pain that Jesus went through. Sometimes we do that tonight. I'm not going to do that. But yet I want us to realize that it was serious, and it is serious. As Jesus was talking to the disciples here, I'm going to look at a couple of words. We're going to go to verse 26. Jesus was slowly opening up their understanding, and he was giving them an invitation. The first word I want to look at is in chapter 20 or verse 26. There is take. He was giving them an invitation to take. So tonight we have the bread and we have the juice here. So as they come around tonight and they're offering this to you, you can look at it. Wow, that's nice. Nice looking little cup there. Good grape juice. And a piece of bread. Done well. But when they take that plate and they hand it out to you, and you don't reach out and take, is it going to benefit you? Not at all. So Jesus was telling the disciples here, take. He's also telling us, take. He's giving us an offering, an invitation, take. It's an invitation to connect with him, but we have to receive. Unless you're willing to take this bread and this cup, you've turned your back on it, you don't want to receive, we have that choice. I want to make sure that we understand tonight, I'm not saying that this bread and this cup is the literal, you know that, the literal blood and body of Jesus. I think you understand that tonight. But he was offering them life. And then the next word there is eat. So you can take it, you can stand there and you can hold it, and it's still not going to benefit you, is it? Eat. We eat for sustenance. We eat for strength. The offering for us tonight, in a spiritual sense, is to take and to eat. Allow it to work within us, in a spiritual sense. I have to think of Peter. When Peter was washing feet, and I don't want to step on, that's not intended there. I don't want to step on what Chad wants to share tonight, but Peter, when Jesus came to wash his feet, no, not my feet. But when he found out he has no part with him, he was all in all of a sudden, really, really quick like, wash all of me. And I had to think about this in the sense of eating. We can choose to back off, or we can say, yes, I will partake. But then he says the next phrase, he said, this is my body. And this is where I would have loved to see the disciples' face. When Jesus said, this is my body, what did the disciples think at that point? I don't know. But I can only imagine they were like, what are you talking about? I want to think tonight a little bit about Jesus' body. I'm going to read out of Hebrews, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to this. You may if you want to, but I'm going to read out of the NLT. I'd like to read 10 verses, and bear with me at the beginning here. It talks about the old law, but I think it's important that we have that as we continue to the verse that I want to touch on. But talking about the body of Christ, Hebrews 10:1. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why, when Christ came into the world, he said to God, so this is Jesus talking to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer." Jesus is telling his Father, those other sacrifices didn't do. But I came down as a human. I have a body. I will sacrifice that for deliverance. So we don't have to stay in Egypt, do we? He's willing to sacrifice his body for us. "You were not pleased with burnt offerings and other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.' First, Christ said you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. No, you were pleased, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he said, 'Look, I have come to do your will.'" He cancels the first covenant in order to put in the second covenant. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Did you get that? Because he was willing to allow his body to be sacrificed, you and I can be holy. There's no other way. Try it as hard as you want to. You cannot make yourself holy. It's what he does within us. By the blood or by the body that he was willing to sacrifice in obedience to his Father. I find that interesting. That Jesus was actually, it says he had to learn obedience because of his humanity. There's a couple of verses that talk a little bit about Jesus giving his body. Luke 22, it says his body is given for us. 1 Corinthians 11 says his body is broken for us. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So we should live unto righteousness because of his body that was shed on the tree, and there's healing there. I love that last part where it talks about his stripes were healed. Anybody here that doesn't need healing? I need healing because I'm broken. We're all broken. If we're willing to admit it tonight, we all have places in our lives where we are broken. Every one of us needs healing. When Adam sinned, every one of us fell under that. So because of that, we need to have our brokenness healed. Jesus' love is perfect. He asks us to love as he did. Yet his love is perfect. And it doesn't depend on how I feel. It doesn't depend on my circumstances. His love is the purest form because he is love. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That was Jesus showing us what great love is in laying down his life for us. He did that long before I was his friend. Did he know how to hit? Yes, I believe he did. But he loved me long before I loved him. His love is so great. So tonight, as we take this bread, we're remembering his body, how it was broken for us so we can be holy. Let's go to the next verse, verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. And again, I want to see the disciples' face here. Verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament. This is where we find the New Testament coming in, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He took a cup. And I'm guessing he took that cup and he passed it around. And he asked them, drink of it. Again, he's given them an invitation. Drink. Drink of it. This drink that he was offering them, we had the body that was broken. Now we have the drink that he's offering them is also a sign of brokenness. So we take the grapes where this drink is made, where the grape juice, the wine comes from. We take the grapes. First of all, they're plucked from the vine. They're disconnected. And they're put into a vat or a container. And depending how the wine was made, some would sit there without being crushed for a while, and they would ferment. Ferment. How do you say that? Yeah. Some of those were put into a vat and they were stumped right away before they were fermented. But however the process was done, there was a place where there was crushing. There was a place where there had to be crushing for the juice to run. All the blood that those animals produced around the altar, they often had like a mini moat. There was like a trough around the altars. And I can only imagine as the blood ran from those sacrifices, how much of that blood actually went around those altars. But it wasn't enough. They could sacrifice a million animals, and it would not take away our sins. Not even one of us. But Jesus comes, and he says, I'll do that. He was so perfect. He said, I'll do that. I want to talk about a cup that Jesus had to drink before we talk about this cup. So as Jesus was in the garden, he was with a couple of his disciples. It says he was withdrawn from them, the disciples, about a stone's cast. It says he kneeled down and he prayed. And this is what he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As I looked at that cup, I thought about what all that cup signified. I believe in that cup, there was pain because it bore the sins of us. Yes, he went through pain, horrible pain in his body. But what did he face when our sins were put upon him? Remember, he was pure. He was perfect. And he said, I'll come. I'll take that. I'll take that for every one of you sitting here today. We have the opportunity tonight to celebrate here and drink from this cup as a remembrance. You would think as he hung on the cross, because of everything that had happened, the beatings, him carrying his cross, the robe that they put on him after they beat him, and then took off again, and possibly, who knows, if their skin that came off, if there was any left. But you would think that the blood was all gone. But Scripture tells us that as he was hanging there, there was a soldier that came up and he ran his spear up in his side. And it says there came blood and water. There was still blood and water left within him. And Jesus went to the cross. He drank from that cup. Excruciating pain. To drink that cup meant death. But he said, I will do it if it's your will. Telling his Father, I will do it. So because he was willing to drink that, tonight we have this cup here. And as we drink that tonight after we eat the bread, we have the opportunity to remember that he drank from that cup. Verse 29 of Matthew 26 there. Sorry, verse 28. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for what? For the remission of sins. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Who knows what remission means here? Forgiveness. So the blood was shed so we can be forgiven. Without that, there was no forgiveness. The blood was there. His life flowed out of his body so you and I could have life. I love to think about that. As his life drained out of his body and he went to the grave and rose, we have new life. That's a beautiful thought to me. Because without that, we couldn't. There was no new life for us. So tonight I can't go back to the old ways of sacrifice. I can't do anything today to earn God's favor in that way. But I can accept the invitation to come to Him and to take freely what He offers us. New life through a broken body and the shed blood. To me, that's very, very exciting. Because without that, we have no opportunity when we lay here like Les did to be with Him forever. But because of that, we can rejoice in the fact, yes, Les is gone. His shell's still here, but His spirit is with the Father. We have so much to be thankful for. I'd like tonight to, before we take communion, I'd like to just open it to you. In a bit here, we're going to all stand and we'll take communion. But I'd like to open it to each one of you here this evening. Something somebody wants to share. We're not going to pass the mic. You're just going to have to speak up loud. Okay. So as we eat, let's remember it's because of His broken body that we are offered holiness. And it's because of His shed blood that we can have forgiveness. I love communion. I think when Paul shared a little bit about the fear that he used to have for council meeting, I had that fear with communion. Communion is nothing to fear. It's a time where we celebrate. We celebrate because of Jesus. And I love to think about the idea we're celebrating together as a body here. That's beautiful too. How we celebrate together. So tonight, if you're here and you desire to take communion, I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to have Chad and Paul come up here. And they're going to pass out the emblems here this evening. And I'm going to ask you to take those and let's hold them. And then I will try to remember to give you the cue to eat and to drink. I think Sheldon had to remind me last time to drink. So we'll see what we can do about that tonight. By the way, I'm just going to share this with you as they're passing the emblems tonight. We have at least 10 to 12 here this evening. This is their first time taking communion. I love to think about that. I just want to give you this little note. As we wash feet tonight, show them the way. I remember some of my first times, and I was just a little bit nervous. But it's okay for you to just be out there and just show them this is kind of how we do it. You know, it's interesting. I'm watching some of the young ones look on. They're learning. They're watching. And that's important. I have some here. Thank you. Here, I'll give to you. How's that? So tonight, before we eat, before we drink, let's bow our heads for prayer. God, tonight we are again reminded of how you send your Son for his body to be broken, that we can be holy, for his blood to be shed, so we can have forgiveness. Father, remind each one of us tonight about that in our lives and the freedom that we have because of your goodness. Bless us here in your name we pray. Amen. Let's eat together. Let's drink together. Thank you, Jesus. You can pass your cups to the center aisle, and then they'll pick them up. Let me grab my Bible, Chad.
Magnificent emblems in any faith worldwide. We serve a risen Savior, and yet we commemorate his death and the sacrifice that makes this possible. There is truly no other religion that offers the hope. There is no other truth that offers the gift of life that the process you just celebrated offers. It is magnificent. It is holy. It is with awe and reverence that we approach the table, and it's with gratitude that we celebrate. And I loved what Paul had to say this morning. It's not about us, right? It's just not. So to think that we're going to get our act together enough so that we're holy enough to be welcomed here is probably the wrong angle. But to accept what Jesus has done and to let him work in our lives through his Holy Spirit is just altogether right. You are a group that's worth celebrating with, and it's a privilege to be a part of the body here at Calvary Chapel. So thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for making the effort. Some of you, it's been a long day with the funeral this afternoon. It's full. And we actually have a little bit more time tonight at this stage because the buckets aren't filled and waiting here for the foot washing. We do that sometimes. We like to have the water poured and the buckets all here, so we just keep things moving pretty quickly. The fellowship hall was full this afternoon, so we're working at filling the buckets now. We'll have a little bit more time. We're going to do something tonight that we've done in years past. Well, I'd like to give a little time for you to tell stories tonight. If you have a story of a time this past year when someone here at the church has blessed you or served you, in that way washed your feet, we'd love to hear it talked about. So, ushers, if you could have microphones, that'd be great after a bit. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 13, be glad to read a few verses together. Now, Lynn, you mentioned this. John chapter 13, verse 2. And supper being ended. The devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took the towel and girded himself. There are several sermons that could be preached from these verses, but I just think it's so valuable to notice what's all going on here. The devil had already worked on Judas. Judas was ready to betray the Son of Man. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, Jesus knew what his place was, and it was a place of power and authority and of privilege. And he had it all in his hand. And yet, he stood. He laid aside his garments and took the towel and girded himself. So Jesus, having all the authority of the God of the universe, took the towel and prepared to serve the one who was about to deliver him to the greatest pain imaginable. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I'm doing to you, you don't understand now, but you will know after this." Peter was kind of worried about it. Jesus said, just bear with us. This is important. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You're not all clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And it is from this command, this passage here, verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you," that we as a church have continued to do as he has done to us. We wash each other's feet. This isn't a glorious undertaking in the next 10 minutes. It's just not. But it reminds us in a very tangible, physical way that we're here to serve each other. I love that about Calvary Chapel. I love that about this body. I love the way that we work together and we serve each other. Jenny and I have been blessed significantly in the past year by you as a church and the way that you care for us, you watch over us, you wash our feet. So I'm here to say thanks and to bless you as a church for the way that you've been a blessing. I know that Jenny and I aren't the only ones that have been blessed. Do you have any stories to tell, any events from this past year where you've been blessed by someone else here at church, something that you want to share? Tom Kazart, Leon has Can we get a microphone for Tom? It's come.
Well, mine is quite often. I don't get by a week without somebody serving me. Can't go anywhere. Don't get around much anymore. It's kind of sad at times that way, but I'm glad that there are those that will take me. And very happy for that. And that many do take me. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. You are a person worth taking. You are. Leon, or do you have, is there another Bible? Go ahead, Jenny. It's fine.
This summer when I was off from school, I had a long list of things that I wanted to get done. And it seemed like it was happening, but there were still more things on my list when school was about to start again. And one night at church, I was just talking to Leanna Hofstetter. And somehow it came up that I really wanted to get my porch glider restained before school started. And it's like a day or two until school starts, and I might just have to let it go. And she said, well, I'll come help you. And I said, well, do you do that kind of thing? Is that your thing, to, you know, redo furniture and stuff? She said, no, but I'll come help you. And I said, well, I wasn't saying that for you to help me. No, I'll come do it. I know how it is if you want to get something done and you don't have time yet. And I think you would be at peace more if you could get that done. What day should I come? And sure enough, she came one morning and helped me for, it didn't even take that long. We were both working on it. And it spoke so much love to me for her to come get her hands dirty and messy to help me.
Okay, Leon, there's a microphone there for you.
Well, this isn't a thank you to just one person. It's a thank you to the entire church. Our family's feet have been washed many, many times this year. And a thank you doesn't feel enough, but I just thank you once again for all the prayers and encouragement and concern that you have shown for our family this year. It's just incredible. And I just want to thank you once again for everything you've done for us.
Thanks. Elvin.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Leon. I feel like my feet were washed many, many times. If I start, there's so many things. I think of all the food that was brought in, the texts, the phone calls, letters. People come to do my dirty work. They came to wash my windows, wash my dishes. And I even fell asleep and they left without me knowing. Kind of humbling when people just take over. One came and helped, or several came and helped pick berries and work outside, and ended up even cleaning up spilled milk in the garage, and she knows who she is. The list goes on. Another took me grocery shopping. So many ways people helped, and I just want to thank each one of you. I'm sure I'm missing some of the things people did. There's just a lot of little things that happened. So thank you, church. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Danny, are the buckets all out in the ladies section too? Okay. I don't want to cut it off. I just make sure that we... Was there somebody else that wanted to share? Oh, Marcus. Okay.
You all know about my recent experience, so I won't go through that again. But I guess I want to start with what I was reminded of when I was young, before I was married. There was a man in our church that had an experience as well. A lawnmower picked up a piece of wire and threw it into his stomach. And he had quite an experience. And he had quite a testimony. But it didn't go much further than that. Whenever he'd speak, he always went back to that experience. I don't want to be that person. I want to grow. We've heard about growth already this evening. I want to grow from that. So forgive me if I repeat that experience. But that did, like Ellen shared already, the phone calls and text messages and the food that was brought in. But I do want to narrow it down just a little bit more to that. Andy is here. He called me. Andy and I are not what I would say real close buddies. We don't have a lot of things in common. But that blessed my heart that Andy would. I think he called me, I don't know how many times, 2 or 3 times. But I was blessed by that. And then I want to go one step further and say that Chad and Jenny washed our feet very much so. Before I went into surgery, Chad and Jenny were there. In fact, Chad pulled off my sweat bottoms for me because I couldn't do it. So then I went into, I'll call it surgery, they call it a procedure. And when I got back from that, a couple hours later, I don't know how long it was, Chad and Denny were still there. And that surprised me, actually. So they washed my feet, very much so. So thank you, Chad and Jenny, Andy, and all the rest of you as well for washing our feet.
We are a body that loves each other. And we care, don't we? Oh, I've got one more. Okay, go ahead, Jenny.
I want to say thanks again for all the food that was brought in when Liam was born, and then I was sick shortly after he was born, and a lot of people reached out to me and said they were praying for me, and that just was a huge blessing. So thanks for washing my feet in that way.
Oh, I've got another one here. Emily.
I just want to say thanks for the baby shower and all the food that was brought and, you know, the prayers for when Nora was born for a safe delivery and also for taking us in as members here at Calvary Chapel. I'd definitely say our feet were washed.
It is a joy to have you here. All right. Hey, let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll dismiss this for our spots. Father in heaven, thank you for the example of foot washing. For the privilege it is to walk this earth with each other and to serve each other along the way. Lord, I pray that you guide our time the rest of this evening. That you would be blessed and honored. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're new to the group here, we don't do co-ed foot washing. That is not how we do it. The ladies will head for the west wing and the men can stay here. And then you all come back when you're ready and we'll gather and sing at the end. But ladies, go ahead and take off.
I'm always amazed that it doesn't get old. Some years ago, actually quite a few years ago, we were kind of homeless between churches. And I didn't have, or my wife and I did not have a communion for almost 4 years, or if it was 4 years. And I never forget how right it felt when we sat down. We broke the bread or had the bread,
had the wine and did the feet washing, and for some reason something just felt right. And tonight, it just feels right. Thank you so much for coming out. We're going to have a closing prayer. We're going to have you stand. And then as soon as we are done, go ahead and stand. As soon as we're done, we have a tradition. But let's have the closing prayer first. Father God, we thank you so much for your Son. God, without your Son's blood, we will be doomed. Father, we bless you and we bless your Son for coming down here, shedding his blood, a blood so pure that it actually cures and it actually heals and washes our sins. There's nothing else, God, that can do that. And you loved us so much that you took the closest thing to you, which is your Son, sent him down in this earth. And for that, God, we're forever grateful. God, your Son also told us to commemorate his death that we're supposed to do what we did tonight. And for that, God, we are so glad to do it because we are so grateful. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have a tradition, and I think you all know what it is. If we want to just line on the outside in this circle,